Hello, and welcome to Nitwit, Rantings of a Rabid Knitter, a storytelling podcast with occasional knit bits. This is episode 71, Andy. Before I get to today's episode, Sean asked a couple of questions, and I thought I would address them here on the podcast because they were some very good questions. The first question she had was about knitting linen on a knitting machine, and she's getting some biasing on the knitting machine. She said that she wasn't getting the biasing on when she was hand stitching it. I'm assuming that Sean's a female. If that's an incorrect assumption, I'm sorry about that. Anyway, Sean is having a biasing issue. And to tell you the truth, I don't know how to fix it on a knitting machine. I know that biasing on hand stitching is easily fixed if you combined both knitting and purling stitches. So if you did something like a seed stitch or a rib stitch or even a garter stitch, which I know is knitting on both sides, but it's knit and then a purl if you look from the front of the piece, that will prevent the biasing, because when you do the purl, the bias goes the other direction and it pulls back and it evens up. So if you have an even number of knitting and purl stitches, then the piece won't bias. Stockinette in general tends to bias, and especially if you're working with a single, which has a tendency to bias anyway. I don't know on a knitting machine how to fix that, because knitting machines are really good at making stockinette material. I would say probably the best thing to do is incorporate the bias in your design and love it. Or you'll just have to try and figure out how to, put a hell of a lot of purl stitches in. And to my best knowledge, that's usually done by hand, at least on the very simple knitting machines that I've played with. So I'm sorry I'm not much help there at all. The other question was whether or not I would use linseed oil in making an outdoor sculpture. And to tell you the truth, I have no idea how durable linseed oil is. If it was me personally, I may try a small thing out and see how well it worked, but I wouldn't bet my masterpiece on it. I would probably use something that had a guarantee, a polyurethane or something like that. I wouldn't do a water base like, you know, Elmer's glue and things like that, unless it was going to be an inside sculpture and wasn't going to be exposed to the elements. So that's all the advice that I have. I hope it helps somewhat. Now, I'm going to have to ask your indulgence. This week has been somewhat rough emotionally on me, and I want to talk to you about a person who means an awful lot to me and some of the stuff that he's going through. His name's Andy, and he was my boss at one time, and he was the best boss I have ever had in my entire life. And I have had some pretty bad ones, and I have had some pretty good ones. But Andy was by far the absolute best. And he was the best for a couple of different reasons. Andy is a very intelligent man who's got a very quick wit about him. But at the same time, the best skill that he ever had was his ability to listen. Andy would ask my opinion about things, and not just my opinion about those things that I was the technical expert on, but he would ask my opinion about other things, and he would listen. And I don't mean saying, okay, go away now. But he would hear past my stutterings. He would hear past my odd way of putting things and actually hear what I was trying to say. He never once made me feel stupid or unwelcome. Where I work is basically a big organization. And for a long time, it was a good old boy organization. It's got a combination of scientists, rednecks, and since we do live in the South, there's a lot of genteel Southern ladies that are doing support. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm a mathematician. I am not a good old boy, although I don't mind running with that crowd. And I sure as hell am not genteel. I really didn't quite fit in the mold of what most of the employees were. And a lot of the other employees made sure that I knew that I wasn't really welcome. They did it in small ways, mostly by being overly polite for those genteel ladies. And then as soon as I turned my back, I would hear snickering and laughter. They would gossip and talk until I turned the corner, and then things would get quiet until I turned the other corner. I knew I was an outsider, but I'm used to being an outsider, and that really was just par for the course. Andy didn't tolerate that, and he also always made sure to involve me in things. He knew I wasn't comfortable in crowds. He would often pull me aside and talk to me. Especially if we were at a get-together, he would always come by and say, "Hey, how's it going?" and spend 5-10 minutes talking to me. He also allowed me to stretch beyond my technical expertise, and he would ask things of me that weren't necessarily in my job description. He took advantage of the fact that I was an outsider and I was watching. He would send me into meetings in which I really didn't need to be because they didn't need my technical expertise, just to hear what I had to say about the other members of the group. I remember one time he sent me to a meeting where we were trying to get two teams to coordinate and work together. Now, I was a liaison between these two groups, so I really did belong in the meeting. But it was very frustrating. And when I came out, I was just shaking my head. And Andy said, "What's going on?" And I said, "Those two can't work together because the two team leads hate each other." And he said, "Why do you think they hate each other? What tipped their hand?" And I said, "Oh, they were overly polite to each other, but they weren't giving each other anything that the other could work with." It was things like that that made me feel like I was a valuable member of the organization. If Andy wasn't there, I probably would have left after just a few months. And he's been going through a very rough time. He has chronic pulmonary disease and has not been doing very well for a while. But this past weekend, he got a lung transplant, and he is doing a lot better. It hurt me because the genteel ladies that I told you about earlier, even though I had been asking them how Andy was doing and to keep me informed, they didn't tell me about a surgery. I had to find out about it through another method, but luckily I found out about it, and he's doing well. I went by the hospital and I dropped off some balloons because I want him to know that he meant an awful lot to me. So if you don't mind, today I would like to share with you a story that Andy once told me. Andy was in the military. He started off as an enlisted man, but the military saw great potential in Andy, and they sent him to Officer Training Corps. And then he got a second assignment as the commanding officer of a K-9 unit. And he was stationed in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. The K-9 unit was in charge of finding booby traps and bombs in the jungle. They would do sweeps with one man and his dog, and they would clear out bombs and booby traps that were left behind. One of the units, one of the pairs, the guy had lost faith in his dog, and he didn't trust his dog anymore. I'm not sure what the dog did, but something happened, and the man didn't trust his dog. And the dog was trying to tell him, "There's something here. There's something here. Don't go forward." And he didn't listen to him. So the dog reached out and grabbed the trip wire with his jaws and set off the booby trap and killed himself to save his partner. Thank you for coming by and letting me tell you a story. If you have any questions or comments about this story or any of my other stories, please come by the website, which is autumnbreezedesigns.com. If you would rather send me an email message, my email address is Carrie, and that's C-A-R-R-Y, .autumnbreeze@gmail.com. I have a voicemail number if you would rather send me a voicemail message. My voicemail number is 206-666-5775. I hope you have a great week. Take care. Bye.